This week, you may have seen, I'm sure that you have, we lost two really great people. The first of them was Kate Spade, a famous fashion designer and personality. We also lost TV personality and chef Anthony Bourdain. And I say great people because some of you, you know, you may be thinking, well, but they weren't followers of Jesus. The reason that I say that is because they were human beings created in the image of God that Jesus died for. And yet, they found themselves in a place all by themselves, even though the world was in love with them. That's not the first time that we've seen it. We've seen it with Robin Williams. And maybe suicide's touched really close to your home before. But the fact that somebody would find themselves in that place, that there's absolutely no reason to keep trying for another minute, is terribly sad. And so today, it's actually a very timely word, because even in our church, we've had a lot of grief hit our church this week. A lot of family members passing and people in the hospital. It's been a crazy week. Maybe you've had a crazy week. Maybe you've gotten some news that you weren't expecting to get this week. I feel like we have a very timely word as we kind of continue in our series, Do Less, Be More. We've been on break for a few weeks, just with a couple other things going on. But today, we're going to talk about devotions for the emotions. I'm starting to realize the only comedy that's coming from the stage is me, like, messing up all the time. But here's what we know. Emotional pain is no respecter of persons. Emotional pain, mental pain, and struggle touches every single one of us at some point or another. Every single one of us face these emotional battles. And so we want to talk about a few ways that God has given us to be emotionally healthy. We had discussed a few of those earlier in this series, not directly connected to the events that we've seen in our culture, but a few of the things we talked about were having a day of rest, Sabbath, taking one day out of our week that God said, work 6 days. Most of us work 5 days at work, then maybe we take a day to work around the yard, but he says, then take a day to rest and rejuvenate. And we also talked about not just having a rest in our week, but that we need to find time for rest every day, a time for some silence, a time to disconnect. Because what we talked about is that God speaks most often to us in solitude, when we take time to just get alone. That doesn't mean you got to go out in the woods. It could just mean that you are in your bedroom. It could be in the shower, that you take some time to get alone, and that you also get silent, because God speaks most clearly in silence. And part of that is for our emotional health. Because people who are exhausted typically make poor decisions. It's when we're so exhausted and we've been running so hard, and some of us do it for noble reasons. I got to provide for my family. I can't take a day to be quiet. I can't take a day to be still. But you're doing a disservice to your family, because it will not give you, it will not set you up for health in the long run. And so those are two ways, just being able to even take time to rest. I think that physical and emotional sickness have a lot in common. My mind went immediately to allergies. Anybody been suffering from some allergies this season? Yeah, okay, I know a couple of people. I've been doing pretty good. It's the strangest thing ever. Sorry, I don't mean to rub it in your face. I stopped taking allergy medicine a couple years ago. Just one day I was like, you know what? I'm just tired of taking medicine. I've been doing it since I was a teenager. And it's been pretty good. Every now and then I have to take medicine. But what I know is that I spent much of my high school time, like, I was kind of disgusting in high school. I used to wear, like, the same hoodie every single day. You know, and I loved the T-shirts that had, like, the really arrogant sayings on them. I don't even remember what some of them were, but they were just, like, you know, mean things that said on your T-shirt. And I used to wear the same hoodie every single day. And I'd just be like, you know, like, on the cuff of the hoodie. I'm not there anymore, so I can talk confidently. We didn't know each other in high school, really, so she wouldn't have been down for that. But I remember, like, I used to say, I'm allergic to high school, because I would feel awful And then I'd be like, Mom, Grandma, somebody come get me. And I would be on the way home, and I'm like, great. And they were like, you are lying. I'm like, I'm not lying. I am allergic to school. And I don't know if it was all the other kids' stuff or cleaning products, but I dealt with allergies so much. And what I know is that when my allergies are bothering me, or maybe you even have a head cold, here are some of the things that happen. Everything feels more difficult. Just everything that I do feels harder because I just don't feel good. And like I said, a lot of these things, these emotional sicknesses or feeling low emotionally is also very much the same as like when we feel physically low. Everything is just harder. I feel like I'm running a marathon brushing my teeth because every cup, I gotta like brush this way so nothing flows out. Everything is harder. I love all the teenagers are like, yeah. You feel like you're operating in this fog. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You have a head cold and you're trying to do work and you're trying to get things done and you're just like, ugh. You know, you just feel like all this is going on. How about when you feel like you have less energy? So just getting by feels just good enough. If I could just get by, it'd be just good enough. We have less focus. When you're not feeling good, one task that before you'd be like, oh, okay, I can get that done, feels like somebody just gave you 10 tasks. And it feels like your world begins to crumble around you because you don't feel right. When you're not feeling well, it's hard to think beyond your present condition. All you're thinking about is if I could just feel better. And so it's hard to think anything beyond the way that you currently feel. How about when you're not feeling well, it's hard to think about anyone else? It's hard to notice the things that other people are going through. I don't know about you, but when I don't feel good and I go to somebody, like, how are you? I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling good. They're like, yeah, me either. I'm like, be quiet. I am the one not feeling good. So please give me empathy. It's hard to care about anyone else when you don't feel good and you want to be the one that doesn't feel good. Mental battles are not merely mental. Mental battles are not merely mental. If you're taking notes today, you can jot that down. You can tweet it out, whatever. Instagram it. Mental battles are not merely mental. Here's the thing. We are created in God's image. We are created spirit, soul, and body. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, God is triune. He is three working as one in perfect unity. We are tripartite. Tripartite. Who's heard? That's the first time you ever heard that word, tripartite. It's a good word. You can have it. Tripartite. I didn't make it up. We're tripartite. We're working as one spirit, soul, and body, but we are certainly not working in perfect unity. They're all warring against one another. And we're trying, by the help of God, by the grace of God, to help bring them in unity together. And here's the thing. Your spirit, well, let's start on the outside. Your body is the five senses. It's what you use to experience the world. It's your sight and your smell and your touch and your taste and your hearing. But your body has a soul. That's what animates your body. It is your mind, it is your will, it is your emotions, it is what we would probably call your personality. Without my soul, I would just be a case up here. But my soul is my mind, my will, my emotions. And then even further, on the inside of you, the deepest part of who you are is your spirit. This is the part of you that communicates with God. This is the part of you that can move past even your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's the part that when your mind, how about this scripture, one of my favorite ones, I quote it a lot, and I just forgot it. Of course I did. Be anxious for nothing. I told you, the only humor today is going to come from me looking terrible, okay? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, what does it say? The peace of God that surpasses your understanding can guard your heart and your mind. So there is a part of you that when you look through your mind, your will, and your emotions, there is no reason to have peace right now. But yet, when I read God's word and I take time to hear from my Bible's in there, that's why it's right there, that's why I pointed right there, that when I get with God, God can speak on the deepest part of me. And when I'm a Christian, his spirit lives inside of me and works with my spirit. And so on the deepest part of me that doesn't make any sense, God plants this peace that hops over the way that I see things and the way that I feel things and the way that I understand things, so that it can give my mind, my will, and emotions peace and protect me. That's what it says. It'll give you that peace that goes past your understanding to come back and guard you. Guard you from making a foolish decision. Guard you from operating out of this broken or fragile emotional state. Mental battles are not merely mental. Who we are in our actions, who we are in our mind, in our thinking, in our will, in our emotions, is profoundly connected to what's happening in our spirit. Mental battles are not merely mental. Our mental and our emotional battles are deeply spiritual. Here's the thing. We cannot simply talk or think or medicate our way into emotional health. It's deeper than that. Is talking important? Absolutely. The Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens. I can't carry it on my own. Is thinking properly important? Absolutely. Romans tells us that we have to be transformed by renewing our minds. If you want to be transformed more and more into who Jesus is, you have to keep renewing your mind and purging out old ways of thinking and old ways of reacting and allowing God to keep speaking his new ways into you. How many of you have ever come under new management or somebody that does something different than you used to do it? You always have two options. You fight against it or you get up under their leadership. This idea isn't foreign with us. And they begin to do things differently and we begin to learn how they do it in the old ways we used to do. That's not how you do purchase orders anymore. Yeah, but that's how I used to do it. Well, that's not how we do it anymore. And it's the same way with God. These old ways of thinking and old ways of doing, God begins to put new ways and say, I know that's how you used to do it, and I know you think that's the right way to do it, and I know that's the way you want to do it, but I'm telling you, if you do it that way, it's not going to work here. And God's saying, if you'll just trust me and do it my way, let me renew your thinking. Philippians, it tells us whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent, if there's anything praiseworthy, think about such things. And that is hard. That scripture haunts me in the best sort of way. Because I realize I get in modes of thinking sometimes. I'm like, God, but this isn't true. It's not noble. It's not pure. It's not right. It's not excellent. It's not praiseworthy. Help me lift my mind, God, to think on things that are excellent. Is medicine important? Sometimes. This is in no way an attempt to downplay or condemn medication. But what I do know is God has given us gifts through science, but I also know mankind has a way of turning God's gifts into curses. We have a way of turning good things into bad things. We have a way of turning things that are meant to help us into things that hold us. What I know is that the primary illness plaguing the hearts and minds of humans cannot be cured through medicine. You know, the demon possessed in Jesus' time used to flock to him. We were looking at it Wednesday night at the prayer service. We were talking about gifts of healing. And every time you saw Jesus healing, it would also say that the city, the sick would come, and also the demon-possessed would come. Those people that had something working, a force working against them and in them, causing them to do things they didn't want to do, in living in ways they didn't want to live. And they would come and people would say, free us, help us. One of the greatest acts I feel like the devil has played on the Western civilized church, I say civilized with a little bit of humor, is to make us believe that he's still not taking hold of people. Oh yeah, that happens in Africa, but not here. For years I've said, I think that one of the devil's greatest strategies here is that maybe there aren't people foaming at the mouth and screaming and things in front of us all the time, like we saw in Jesus' time. But maybe the devil knows the best way to hold us is to make us think it just doesn't exist. And yet so many people are living in ways of being possessed, doing things that they don't want to do, acting ways they don't want to act, and not even realizing that they've got an enemy working against them. Now, I don't believe that if the Spirit of God lives in you, that a demon, a demonic spirit can possess you. But I fully believe that there are far more Christians living under demonic oppression than we like to believe. You may not have a demonic spirit working in you because the Spirit of God is in you, but a demonic oppression working on you, keeping you locked in this place of depression, of anxiety, of substance abuse, of unfaithfulness, because they're not of God. One time Jesus encountered a demon-possessed boy that his disciples couldn't heal. And they came to him and they said, why couldn't we heal him? And Jesus cast the demonic spirit out of the boy and he said, you have little faith. This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Somehow we think that the deepest pains of our world, the kind that lead people to consider and carry out taking their own lives, can now be solved simply by the working of a human's hands. When Jesus is saying, sometimes these ones only come out through prayer and fasting. See, here's the truth. Because sometimes I say demonic and demon, people are like, yeah, but that's not like a real thing. It's not true. Ephesians chapter 6, for our struggle, your struggle, my struggle, is not against flesh and blood. Someone needs to hear that today. You're facing a struggle and you're wondering why, what's all just wrong with me? What you need to know is that you have an enemy that hates you and wants to destroy you and wants to keep you locked up and doesn't want your marriage to be full of joy and doesn't want you to forgive that person. He wants you to hold on to that bitterness. He wants you to stay lonely and apart from community. He wants you to suffer. Your struggle, my struggle, is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There are spiritual forces working against you, just as there are spiritual forces from God working for you. You are in a very real spiritual battle that weasels its way into your mind, your will, and your emotions. So, the answer is Jesus. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Maybe you're in here today and you are weary and you are so burdened. And Jesus is saying, keep coming to me because I'm still giving rest. The answer is the Holy Spirit. I love this, 2 Timothy 1:7. "For we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." You, sir, you, ma'am, you, young man, you, young lady, the Spirit of God is inside of you. You have a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Someone needs that today. And I just declare that over you. I love that song that we were singing. "I know who I am. I'm a child of God, not forsaken." I love songs that declare who the Bible says that we are. You have a sound mind in the name of Jesus. Some of you feel so tossed back and forth by all of your emotions. And today I'm speaking over you. You have a sound mind. You can make the decisions that the Holy Spirit wants you to make. The Bible even tells you you're not tempted beyond what you can bear. It says God doesn't tempt you with evil. And you are not tempted. An enemy tempts you with evil. And you're not tempted beyond what you can bear. You need to stop telling yourself that. I can't handle this. Yes, you can. Anything God allows in your life, you need to tell yourself, I can handle it because the Spirit of God lives inside of me. I walked into the office on Monday morning and I was in a funk. Anyone ever been there? And I was just wondering, God, what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing? Am I making a difference? God, am I called? And I go in cycles, just like I believe all of you do. And all of a sudden, God reminded me of a very simple passage. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Man, I've heard that so many times. I've said it so many times, and I get what it means. But that day, I'm telling you, from the front door to my office, a grace came over me. I mean, I stood up straighter, and I said, God, I know I've got a list of things to deal with. And I can do every single one of them today through Christ who gives me strength. And that grace came over me. The answer is the Word of God. God's Word will expose our thinking. And I'm thankful for that. At least there's still one real thing out there that'll tell me when I'm wrong. Our world needs something to tell them when they're wrong. The answer is community. That grace came on me Monday morning, and Monday night I hung out with one of my best friends. Charity said, "You've been working hard. You need to go." And I went and had a great time hanging out with one of my best friends. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help them up. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves." You have to stop kidding yourself that you can just keep going, keep running without any friendship. Men, without another man to talk to. Women, without another woman to talk to. And let the things that are brewing inside of you be exposed. That's why I love the Life Development Center at our church. Patty Slabos. We have a licensed Christian counseling center as a part of our church. We have a branch here at the Bremen campus, and we have a branch in Douglasville. Because sometimes you just got to sit with somebody that's not going to judge you, that's not going to, you know, is not going to go tell anybody else. It may not be super close to you, but you can just tell the way that you feel and they can listen. I want to show you for just a moment, just the next few moments, a recipe from King David. King David was very acquainted with the stresses and the pressures of life. He had just taken the assignment as the king of Israel. He basically became the president. And immediately a battle came on his doorstep. And God gave them victory. Whew, problem over, right? Well, guess what? Another one came up. Almost immediately, in 1 Chronicles 14:13, it says this. Once more the Philistines raided the valley. So David inquired of God again, and God answered him, "Do not go straight up. Circle around them. Attack them in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move out to battle, because that will mean God has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army." First thing I want to look at is that you have to return every once more with a God again. Return every once more with a God again. Because what it says is once more, the Philistines raided the valley. We all will have a once more. Once more, the pressure and the stress will come to raid your life. Once more, the insecurity will come marching. Once more, the anger will come knocking. Once more, the disappointment will come shouting. Once more, the call to open the bottle will come whispering. Once more, the grief that has an intent to destroy you will show up. Once more, the Philistines came to raid the valley. And it says, so David inquired of God again. You have to return every once more with a God again. David didn't say, well, God did it last time, I can handle it this time. He said, no, when it showed back up, I went back to God. When the enemy came knocking on David's doorstep, David went knocking on the doors of heaven. And here's the thing. God will always answer. But we rarely knock. God will always answer, but we rarely knock. See, God answered him, is what it says. In Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7, Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks will find, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? My kids don't come asking me for fish very much. They ask me for other things. It says, if you then, though you are evil, thanks God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Ask, seek, knock, and he'll answer. And God answered him, and here's the thing. God has a supernatural strategy and a strength for every force that you face. There is nothing that you face that is uncommon for him. I love that Hebrews tells us that Jesus, who's our high priest, he's the one who talks to God on our behalf. He's the one who died so we could approach God. It says that he knows what you're going through. He's well acquainted with what you go through. He can sympathize with your weaknesses because he walked the same earth that we walk and he faced the same things that we face. They're just repackaged a little bit. And so he understands what you walk through. I love that God told David, don't go straight up. Don't go face them head on, but circle around them. See, God had a strategy for David he would have never known if he attempted to just face it on his own. Too often, we try to fight the battles head on in the way that we know how to fight them. But if we're people that will go to the strategy room with God, that'll get quiet, then God will give us strategy. God will give us insight. God will speak over you things. I can't tell you how many times I feel in the midst of stress. I feel in the midst of pressure. And every task ahead of me feels like it's going to crush me. And then I stop. And I sit down. And I get quiet. And I lift my hands in the air. And the peace of God that surpasses my understanding guards my heart and my mind. And he begins to speak to me and to encourage me and to lift those burdens off of me because I keep coming to Jesus who said he'll keep giving me rest. He has something that he'll give you if you'll go to him. But we try to fight them on our own. Because I love that as we do that, it says as soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees, move out to battle, because that means that God has gone out in front of you. I was just thinking about that. Such an interesting thing that he tells them to go to these trees, hang out by them. When you hear the sound of marching in the trees, you know God has gone ahead of you. That there's something supernatural at work here, because remember, our mental battles are not merely mental. And what I love is that David had a supernatural element from God, and so do we. You'll be facing an enemy. Fear and doubt will be in your heart. But you'll hear the sound of marching. You'll sense the armies of heaven moving on your behalf. If you'll lean into him, if you'll lean into his word, you'll begin to feel God going ahead of you. It means he's gone out ahead of you to strike your enemies. Your enemies are too strong for you. Your enemies are too strong for you. And I need to tell you, you're not weak for admitting that. Because the reality is, it's only in the recognition that you don't have what it takes that God can give you everything you need. It is not until you say, God, I don't have what it takes to get over this. I don't have what it takes to get through this. I don't have what it takes, but you have everything I need. So give it to me. It's not until you recognize you don't have what it takes that God can give you everything you need. It's interesting to me that in the first 100 days of David being in office, he brought the Ark of the Covenant back into the city. The Ark represented the presence of God, the blessing of God for the community of Israel. And it had been left somewhere. And can I tell you that our world has sidelined the Ark of God, the presence of God. We don't need it in our city. But I'm telling you, each and every believer can make the decision to pick up the ark and march it right back into the center of their city, their heart, their life. And if you're trying to live this life apart from the presence of God being active in you, I don't know what else to tell you. But you can't win. You can't make it. If you're trying to do this in your strength and your power, just here to tell you today, you can't. You won't make it. And I think it's probably the most loving thing I could possibly say to you today. I need other people to share my burdens with. I need other people to laugh with. I need other people to give me wisdom. But first things first, I need to learn like David did how to go to God. The enemy has come against me, and I'm going to go to God once again. Not just when there's a problem. You know, we've talked about preventative counseling versus restorative counseling. Sometimes seeing a counselor talking to somebody before you've made a mistake is really the best route. And we're supposed to go to God and learn how to live with God on a daily basis and let him keep preventative counseling us and speaking into us and setting our minds on things above and helping us get rid of the things that are plaguing our hearts and our lives. And one of the ways that we do that, I know it's a very simple thing, is we have this soap bookmark that has disappeared from my notes. We have a bookmark for you. Actually, I have one right here in my Bible. Looks just like this. It says soap. It's a very simple way for you to march the ark, the presence of God, back into your life every single day. And all it simply is the S means scripture. See, the Bible tells us that the word of God is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the person of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That God's word speaks to you and molds you and transforms you to live the life he's called you to live. And then we have observation. The observation is the ability to just look at God's word and let it soak into you and get quiet and hear what God's saying. And then the application, because James tells us that we've deceived ourselves if we read God's word but we don't carry it out. And then the prayer. Prayer. Because we're meant to communicate to God and let God speak to us. And so I want to encourage you today that probably one of the greatest things you could ever do, and the first thing that my leaders, when I came to know Christ at 14 years old, first thing I ever saw from my leaders is you got to make time to be with God every day. Fight for it. And I know how I feel when I go days without connecting to the presence of God, of taking time to really just be silent and let God speak to me. I know the battles I face when that's a discipline in my life. I couldn't imagine if it wasn't. So I want to encourage you today, on both the tables behind behind the drapes, we have these cards. And it's got a little Bible reading plan on the other side. It's got some scripture memory if you'd like to do that. But I want to encourage you today, if that's not a part of your life, I'm telling you, the greatest step toward emotional health for you today is making this a habit in your life. I knew somebody that was going through some difficult times in their marriage, and it ended in a divorce twice. Divorce, remarried, divorce. And I remember them telling me that somebody said to them, when they were in the greatest time of feeling like they were really doing well in their marriage, somebody said, are you reading your Bible? Are you spending time with God? She said, no. And she said, but I have been, and my goodness, what it's been like. And I think that that lasted for about a week. But she saw the difference when she let the presence of God be in the center of her city. And so today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in here today and your first step is coming into relationship with Jesus, your first step is to become a part of Jesus's practice, to allow him to give you life today. Because what the Bible tells us is that apart from Jesus, we're dead. We're separated. And Jesus came and lived the life that you should have lived and died the death that you should have died in your place. And on the third day, he rose from the dead and he offered the free gift of salvation to everyone who would believe. And if you're in here today and you're saying, I need that, I want to follow Jesus, all you got to do is begin to say to him, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I want to follow you. Make me new today. And Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I also pray for those in here who feel like they're losing the emotional battle. I'm just asking right now that you give us supernatural strength. Remind them that the spirit they have is one of power, love, and a sound mind. I'm asking God for those that need friendships. I pray, God, that you would help them find friendships. Help them find friendships in these walls. Someone to encourage them, somebody to hold them up, somebody to walk with them. And I'm asking God that you would help our church, the people in here, the people that call this place home, help us to be emotionally healthy, so that we can reach a world that's broken and hurting. Heal people today. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want to show you this slide real quick, that if you need additional help today. There's no shame in that. We celebrate that. We have a few opportunities for you. One, you can speak with a Chapel Hill pastor. That's not just me. I mean, between our whole team, we have a great team of pastors that would love to just take some time with you and hear you, listen to you, let you know you're not crazy. We're all crazy. Let you know you're not alone. If you'd be interested in talking with one of our counselors at our counseling center, and if you prefer to even receive some counseling from here, you can mention that when you call, that you'd be interested in counseling in Bremen at the LDC. And then we also have additional referrals to outside sources if those could be of any benefit to you. But we just want to make sure that you have everything that you need to be emotionally healthy. We love you. Thank you.